I'm Ben Pugh, and you're listening to Impact, Parenting with Perspective, episode 167. This podcast is all about helping parents manage the mental and emotional drama that comes with parenting teens, so they can focus on what's most important, building rock-solid relationships and having a powerful impact on their teen's life. Join me each week as I dive into real tools to help you and your team turn struggles into strengths. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for being here with me. I appreciate all of your support. I appreciate those of you who have taken advantage of my back-to-school special and have joined the Impact Parenting membership. Thank you for being a part of us. This is awesome. We're really having a good time inside the membership and really up-leveling how you parent your teenagers. So those of you who took advantage of that, thank you. If you haven't, there's still time. Just get in before it is too late. So today, I want to talk to you about seven secrets that are keeping your teen from being an elite athlete. Now, this podcast episode is for you if you have teenagers who are playing high school sports and they want to up-level their, their athleticism, their inner teen athlete. If you don't have teens who are playing high school sports, you can still learn a lot of powerful lessons from this podcast episode and the next one. This will be a part one and a part two series. As I was writing the show notes and getting everything ready for this podcast episode, I kept on thinking to myself, man, every single one of these seven principles has to do with parenting. And even if you don't have a teenager playing sports, you can apply these principles to your own life as a parent. Now, I'm going to record this as if I were talking to your teenager, because this time of year, I get a lot of high school athletes as my one-on-one clients because summer's over, lives have become less hectic and less crazy, and it's easier for teens to make time for coaching. It's easier for me to work with them. So I'm going to act like I'm speaking to your teenager. Act like it. I will be talking to them. You can just ignore me, mom, dad. Anyways, I'll be talking to them so that they can really apply all of this to their own life. So hopefully this is helpful, and just keep this in mind. Even if you don't have a teenager who is into high school sports, these are really important principles just for life. So there you go. All right. So let's dive into today's content. And I want to just, I'm talking to you right now, the teenager. You are the one playing high school sports. I played high school sports. I did football. I did track. I know how hard it can be. And for a lot of high schoolers, they run into this problem where they used to play at a really high level. And for whatever reason, this season, they've started struggling. They've started falling behind. And if that's you, I want to help you get past that. Oftentimes, there are high school athletes who struggle to manage their emotions. And when things go wrong on the field or on the court, they throw a fit, they put their head down, they sit on the bench, they sulk, and they stop trying or they stop executing at a high level. So over the next two podcasts, I'm going to share with you seven secrets that might be holding you back in your sport. And mom and dad, if you're still listening to this, which I hope you are, you can apply these seven secrets to your own parenting as well. And one of the things I want you to keep in mind, as a teen athlete, I get it. Your life is busy. You're probably starting school either now or in the next week or so. If you're like my high school, like by the time this podcast is released, we will have already played our first game, which we lost, by the way, in a last second. There is a pass to the end zone. I felt like it was caught in the end zone, and the referee called it out of bounds, and there was no more time on the clock, and we lost that game by one touchdown. So if you're like most teens that are starting high school sports, they might have already started. So what I want to invite you to do is don't try and tackle every single one of these all at once. Just pick one. And I'd recommend that you pick the easiest one and start working there. And by the way, I just want to pat you on the back. If you are a teenager listening to this, and if your mom and dad aren't forcing you, congratulations. That tells me a lot. That tells me that you are actually willing to try something to improve as an athlete. You're willing to learn and try new things. So just pat yourself on the back for being here in the first place. Okay, so the number one thing, or the first thing that I want to talk to you, the first secret that might be holding you back as a teen athlete is what I call overthinking in the sport. And there's a current trend right now in high school sports where coaches talk about wanting smart athletes, and they want players who can think in the game. And I get it. I also want smart athletes who can think and problem solve, but there's got to be the right balance. If you try to think too much in a game, or you're trying to overanalyze yourself or your opponent, you will slow yourself down. You won't react as quickly. So when I talk to coaches and athletes, if they talk about like being too slow, or they tell me, yeah, I'm late, I'm a step behind, these are usually indicators that you're actually overthinking in the game. And when it comes to thinking in sports, I just want you to realize this, it slows you down. In sports, I want you reacting. I want you going on your instincts. I want you not even having time to think. So like I said, there's definitely a time and a place for thinking. And thinking is very important to sports. But overthinking will not only slow you down, but it will also hold you back. So there's some things that I help teens do to help them get out of their heads and stop overthinking. And some of these things might actually help you. So the first thing that I typically, if the student athlete that I'm working with is struggling with this problem of overthinking, the first thing that I try and have them do is identify, when is it appropriate in my sport to think? So with my football players, I always talk about making pre-snap reads and pre-snap decisions. There's a few seconds before the snap where my team can go up to the line of scrimmage, they can think, they can communicate, they can make decisions. But once the ball is snapped, I don't want them thinking. I want them focused on the task at hand, and I want them to spring into action. And if they're thinking, that will slow them down. So there we identify, okay, there's a second or probably 5 or so seconds before we snap the ball. I can think, I can talk, I can remember my assignment. In basketball, there's timeouts. There's certain points in the game where you can think about things. When you identify those, it's powerful, because I don't want you to stop thinking in those moments. The next thing I want you to do is identify times where you are more likely to overthink. So this might be at the free throw line. Maybe you're trying to make a big free throw that'll win the game, and now you're overthinking. Maybe it's during the last few minutes or a few seconds of a game, and there's more pressure, and now you're overthinking. Or maybe it's right after or right before you get beat by your opponent. In football, like I can tell you, there are players that I've seen them get beat where all of a sudden they put their head down, they're in their head, they're overthinking, and then the next play, they're slower. There's other times where I see an opponent or one of my players get up to the line and be a little bit confused, And then that happens right before they get beat because they're overthinking. If you can identify times where you are more likely to overthink, you can prepare for those times. You can practice against that. You can prevent that from happening. And then the last thing that I'd invite you to do when it comes to overthinking is practice being in the flow. I call being in the flow, basically, you're not having to think. You're just doing things on autopilot. You're doing it automatically. The best athletes work in the flow. They don't overthink things. They get in the flow and they're focused on their job and they execute their job and thinking is minimal. They're just reacting instinctually. It's lightning fast. This is why how you practice is so important. I really want you to train your mind and train your body that in a game, this is how I react. This is game speed. This is what I do. This is how I do it. That way in the game, you don't have to think about it. It comes naturally. It's a part of who you are. So if you feel like you're playing a little bit slow in your sport, if you catch yourself second guessing yourself, you're overthinking, and you can try those three little tips to help you get out of your head and get into the flow, and that will help you speed up your game and it will help you play better. All right. The second thing I want to talk to you about is focusing on things outside of your control. Now, I want to just preface this. I have coached a lot of high school athletes. A lot of really high-level, elite high school athletes that have plans to go to a big-time college after high school. And overthinking, the tip number one that we just talked about, that is huge. That is one of the things that I coach on the most. Focusing on things outside of your control. That goes hand-in-hand with overthinking. And recently, was that last year or the year before? I can't remember. They all kind of collide together. But I had the privilege of coaching a young man. He's a big-time football player. And his sophomore and freshman year, he'd gotten a lot of reps at the varsity level. He was really good. Colleges were already starting to look at him. And for some reason, his junior year, he just was not performing well. And by the time I spoke to him, they had already had their first and second games, and he was on the verge of losing his starting position because he was playing so poorly. And I talked to him a little bit, and I was like, okay, well, sounds like you're definitely overthinking. And that was the first thing that we addressed. And he reached out to me the very next week, and he's like, Coach, I got so much better. Not only did I keep my starting spot, but my team, we give out weekly awards, and I got the award for lineman of the week and most improved player of the week. Just by doing what we're talking about right here with getting out of your head, not overthinking. And I just wanted to throw that out there because if he could do that in 1 week, you can do that too by just implementing these few little tips. Okay, so number two is focusing on things outside of your control. In every sport, there are controllables and uncontrollables. That's what makes sports so awesome. There are things outside of your control that will impact how the game turns out. That's part of sports. And one of the biggest mistakes that you can make as a high school athlete is in focusing on the uncontrollables. If you focus on all these things outside of your control, that will hold you back as a player. If you are arguing with a ref or one of your coaches or a teammate, I guarantee you, you are focusing on an uncontrollable. And if you're beating yourself up for a missed block, a missed shot, a missed field goal, a missed tackle, anything from your past, if you're beating yourself up about the past, you are focusing on an uncontrollable. Because none of us have a time machine. Like if you struck out or you missed a foul shot or whatever it might be, that past event is done and over with. And you focusing on that, like literally, like we cannot go back in time. There are no time machines. We can't go back in time. We can't undo something. So you are literally focusing on something outside of your control. And these uncontrollables, they're just part of the game. And for as much as they're part of the game, they're also part of life. So mom and dad, if you're still listening, like this is one of the biggest mistakes that parents make too, just on focusing on all these things outside of their control. And parents, I hate to tell you this, especially while your teen is listening, but your teen is one of those things that you cannot control. And just like in sports, when you focus on things outside of your control, it takes away from your focus, so you can't focus as much attention and energy on the few things that you can control. So, back to high school sports. Teens, I'm talking to you right now. Uncontrollables are part of the game. You will always have a choice to be made in sports and in life. And you're going to have to choose, where do I place my attention? If you focus on things outside of your control, the uncontrollables, you will not be able to focus on the things within your control, the controllables. This is a skill that I want you to practice. I want you to practice it well before a game, but I also want you to practice it in a game. This is a powerful, powerful exercise. And one of the exercises that I have my teen clients do is that I have them come up with a T-chart of control. And we do this, we don't do this in a game typically. Like this is something that I'll do with them in one of our coaching sessions. But the way that you create a T-chart of control is that you create a T-chart, and on the left-hand side, you list all the things that you can control. This might be like my effort, my discipline, my attitude, my execution, my water intake, the foods that I eat. Like these are the things that you can control. And then on the right side, you identify all of the things that you can't control. This might include the ref, the crowd, the other team, your teammates, your coach, your past. Like we just talked about, if you fumbled the ball last play, if you're focusing on that, that fumbling the ball last play definitely goes on the right-hand column. You can't control that anymore. And that's huge to know that. A lot of players waste a lot of time dwelling on the past, wishing that they could change it, wishing that they could fix it. And if you're thinking about the past, your focus is on something that's outside of your control. And this is one of the most effective exercises and one of the most effective ways for you as a teen athlete to up your game. But I'll tell you, it takes work. And it might take some sacrifice. So I want you to just be aware of this. If your parents, your coaches, your teammates are complaining about the refs, they're focused on something outside of their control. If they're complaining about things in the past or anything that's an uncontrollable, they're focusing on things outside of their control. And if you have the habit of doing the exact same thing, you too are focusing on things outside of your control. And you need to start practicing the skill of shifting your attention from things outside of your control to the few things within your control. And one of the things that I invite you to do, if that's happening, even if it's with mom and dad, your friends, your teammates, even with your coaches, if they're focused on things outside of their control, leave the conversation. That does not benefit you. You have to have the discipline and the skill to find the few things that you can control. I can control my effort. I can control the work that I put in to practice between Monday and Friday, like whatever it is that you can control. Anytime you catch yourself focusing on things outside of your control, take that attention back and apply it to the things within your control. I promise you that will help you up-level your game as a high school athlete. All right, number three, and the last thing that we're going to talk about in this episode, is trying to manage others' models instead of your own. All right, teenagers. This one takes a little bit of background knowledge, and it's a little deep. So hopefully I don't lose you. If I do, just ask your mom. She'll help you understand this. This is what I call the self-coaching model. Also, ask your parents. If they are a member of my membership, they have access to a training on the self-coaching model, which you can just say, Mom, Dad, show me that training so I better understand the model. Because there's a huge mistake that I see a lot of teen athletes doing, and that is trying to manage other people's models instead of their own. In fact, I'll be honest with you, this is a problem that I see parents do as well, especially when they're trying to control their teenager. They're trying to manage their teen's model. So, just to briefly give you an overview, the model is a tool to help you be aware of how you think, how you feel, and how you act, and how you think, feel, and act create your results. To quickly break down the model, it's made up of five components. The first one are circumstances. These are things that are factual, they're often outside of your control, and they're neutral. So it might be like, one example that I give, I had a mom one time. She told me that her circumstance was that her husband was a piece of poop. She didn't say poop, though, but this is a family show, so I'm not going to say what she said. And I asked her, is that factual? Like, is your husband literally a steaming pile of poop? And she's like, no, it's not. The truth was, her husband did something specific. That's the circumstance. My husband stayed at work late and didn't call me and didn't tell me. That's factual. It's also out of the wife's control. And contrary to what she believed, it isn't good, it isn't bad, it's neutral. This applies to you and your sports. The circumstance might be, I fumbled the ball the last play. Is it factual? Yes. We don't have the ball anymore. That proves that I fumbled it. Is it outside of my control? Yes, it's in the past. I don't have a time machine. I can't go back in time and unfumble the ball. Is it neutral? Man, it sure doesn't feel like it right now. But yes, in some way, it's neutral. Those are circumstances. Now, our thoughts are how we interpret our circumstances. You might think that fumbling the ball is the worst thing ever, and I can't believe I did that, and I'm not good enough, and blah, blah, blah. Those are all of your thoughts interpreting the circumstance. And how you think determines how you feel. So if you fumble the ball and you think, gosh, it's all my fault, we're going to lose this game because of me, you might feel disappointed, embarrassed, angry, any of those emotions. Because how we think determines how we feel. And how you feel determines the actions or the behaviors that you take. So because you're feeling sad about fumbling the ball, you might go pout on the bench, or you might throw your helmet against the ground. And how you behave creates your results. You might get benched by your coach if you behave the wrong way. You might injure yourself or someone else if you throw your helmet. It's important to understand that you create your results by how you think, how you feel, and how you behave. So that is a quick rundown of the model. There's those five little steps: circumstances, thoughts, feelings, actions, and results. Now, the thing that's important about this is that I always teach people how to manage their own model. And one of the biggest mistakes that I see teen athletes making, and their parents oftentimes, is in trying to control someone else's model. This means that you, like, if you're trying to control your coach's model, if you're trying to control how he thinks about you, you're trying to control his model. And that's not helpful. If you're trying to control how your coach feels about you or how they behave towards you, you are focused on someone else's model. And if you're focusing on someone else's model, you can't manage your own model. That's the biggest problem with, like, when parents are focused on their teen model, I'm like, well, the problem is, who's managing your model? The same is true for you as a teen athlete. If you are not controlling your model? No one is. So how this applies to sports, I oftentimes see players who are trying to manage their coach's model. They're trying to make their coach like them, to make their coach give them more playing time. If you are focused on what your coach thinks, feels, or does in regards to you, you're disempowering yourself because you are not focused on your model. I can tell you I actually coach high school football. It is impossible for a coach to fully understand what's going on with a player. Oftentimes, when I see this trying to manage someone else's model as a problem, sometimes the player will be injured and the coach will think the player is just being a big old baby. And the player tries to convince the coach, no, I really am injured. I need to sit out. The problem is you're not focusing on your model. Coaches are really pessimistic. They are, they're not trusting. If your coach doesn't trust you, that is your coach's problem. That's not your problem. You have to take care of yourself because no one knows how you think, how you feel. No one knows what's going on with you but you. And too many players mess up their bodies and hurt themselves worse, or they play poorly because they are focused on what their coach may or may not be thinking about them. They're focused on what their coach may or may not feel about them. So if you are worried about what your coach thinks about you or how they feel about you, I want you to realize you are giving away your power to your coach. If you're worried about a bad call from a referee or you're arguing with them, you're trying to manage how they think or how they feel or how they act, like the call that they made. If you're doing this with a teammate, you are trying to manage somebody else's model, and it will take away from your power to manage your own model. It is not your job to make your coach like you. It is not your job to make your coach happy. Most of the coaches I know are grumpy old men. Like, there's nothing you're going to be able to do to make them happy. It's your job to be you. And if you're trying to manage your coach's model, you will not be you. So as an athlete, you need to focus on your own model and on doing your job. Okay, that's all that I have for you today. Just to quickly recap, the three secrets that could be holding you back are: number one, overthinking in your sport; number two, focusing on things outside of your control; and number three, trying to manage somebody else's model rather than your own. Next week, we're going to talk about blaming others and making excuses. We're going to talk about taking things personally. We're going to talk about doubting yourself. And we're going to talk about failing to practice. Now, with that, tell mom and dad to listen up again, because I want to tell you right now, you can access my Impact Parenting membership for only $27 for your first month. That's a huge savings. That's over 70% off. And you can go to benpewcoaching.com/trial to learn more. I'm also offering two more teen relationship tune-ups. I just realized by the time this podcast goes live, there will only be one more left. And that one will be on August 23rd at 2 p.m. Mountain Time. If you would like to register for that, just go to benpewcoaching.com/training, or you can get those in the show notes on my website at benpewcoaching.com/podcast. I'll take you to my podcast. You can see the show notes and you can go sign up for those things. With that, I just want to invite you, come back next week. We'll do part two. We'll finish this up and I'll talk to you soon. Did you know that parents and teens all over the world are struggling? I believe that the most important thing that you can do in your teen's life is simply being an impactful parent, which means taking the time to understand what parenting traps are holding you back, and then taking that knowledge and using it to completely uplevel your parenting. This is why I've created a brand new quiz to help you better understand your own parenting traps. This quiz will help you pull back the curtain on your own parenting and gain some powerful insights so you can stop getting caught in the same old parent traps. This This quiz will help you start being the parent of your dreams so you can finally create an impactful relationship with your team. This quiz will take you less than 2 or 3 minutes, and it is completely free. If you want to take this quiz and better understand the traps that are keeping you stuck as a parent, go to benpewcoaching.com/parenttrapquiz and get an insight into what is holding you back as a parent so you can completely uplevel your parenting. I'll see you soon.